Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
A young pastor in a small Texas town was called by the local funeral home. He was the new pastor in town. They said, "You're the new pastor in town." And we had a gentleman who died. He was homeless, and he didn't have anyone to do his funeral. We asked that you would do it. He said, "Well, I'll be glad to." And so they gave him directions. This was before Siri and Alexa and GPS and all that stuff. And they gave him directions. It was way out in the country. And he got turned around. He got lost. And finally, he pulled up to it, and he saw some workmen there starting to put dirt in the hole. And he was late, about 30 minutes late. But he thought, you know what? He said, this guy, he may have been homeless, but he deserves a good funeral. So he got up there, and he said to the workers, he said, "Guys, take your hats off, if you would, please." So they all took their hats off. And he stood over that open grave, and he began to preach. Now, man, he started at Genesis, and he went all the way through the book of Revelation. I mean, he just rolled through to the point where even all the workers were going, "Amen, praise God, glory to God." Then he wrapped it up about 30 minutes later, said amen. Felt real good about walking to the car until he heard a guy say, "You know what?" He said, I've been putting in septic tanks for over 30 years. I ain't never seen nothing like that." Well, blessed are the short-winded. They shall be heard from again. This morning, I want to talk a little bit about how we walk, how we live as believers. It's a new kind of life. It's a new way of living. We know how we live in the past. We know the components that make up our life. A lot of times they can just simply be our upbringing, how you were raised. How you were raised, whether you think it's good or bad, impacted you. And sometimes it's even unconscious. When I grew up, my parents had both been a product of the Depression. Both of them had had food scarcity. Both of them had gone without food. And so in my household, not eating your food was right next to blasphemy as terms of something that you didn't do. I mean, you cleaned your plate. Some of you grew up that way. You cleaned your plate and you had to eat everything. And this is where I developed such an intense hatred of onions. And you say, "Don't use the word hate. If you can give me a stronger word, I'll be glad to use it. But I hate onions." But had to eat them. And as my kids were growing up and starting to eat the table, I realized unconsciously I was putting the same pressure on them that my parents put on me until I woke up one day and realized, you know, if they don't eat everything, it's not the end of the world. And so how we're raised, our upbringing can certainly impact us. How we're experienced in life. You have good experiences, bad experiences. You have good experiences in romance and love, where you tend to look at it differently than someone who's had horrible experiences. And so our experiences help shape us and help define us. How we identify. How we identify with the different things. We identify so many different areas we identify in. We identify, and we've seen what politically identifying can be. We know gender, we know race, but it can go into hobbies. It can go into teams. I mean, there are people here who identify, how many of you identify being a Cowboy fan? I can't tell you how that blesses my heart, just to hear. How about Texan fans? That's an identity. And here's what's interesting. People identify so closely sometimes with teams that cities where they have NFL teams, they've noticed an uptick in domestic violence on the times that those teams have lost, which is inexcusable, but it's from someone identifying too much with the team. No one in here. We're talking probably about Cowboy fans in Detroit and other places. But it's an identity. So you've got experiences, you've got upbringing, you have how you identify. But there's a new factor that got entered in the moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life. You didn't just get to go to heaven when you die. You actually have something new that's taking place in your life. And so Paul is writing. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. We're reading in the book of Ephesians right now. He said, you were once darkness. Now, he's writing to the church. He's writing to believers. He said, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, some translations read, the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Would you leave it up there just for a moment? So now he's talking to him. He said, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. He didn't say you have a light. He said you are a light. And so that is a new identity. Obviously, he's speaking spiritually. This is a spiritual thing. He said, now you have to walk as children of light. In other words, it's not an automatic process. In other words, you learn, you come to Christ, and then it's a process of learning. We're renewing our minds. We're thinking differently. We're learning how to walk or live differently. And then he said, the way we're walking now is in goodness and righteousness and truth. Those are the new parameters that we learn to live by. And then finding out what's acceptable. Thank you. Finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. Another word for that is finding out what's pleasing to the Lord. So now we've got a new motivation. So we have an identity, actually a stronger identity, a spiritual identity, because of who we are in our relationship with Christ. We have a new identity. We are learning a new way to walk. Many of you can testify. If you have a relationship with the Lord, you've had it for any length of time, you can testify, I live differently now than I used to. Yes? Just wanted to make sure we're okay here. But we live differently than we used to, and that should be a progressive thing. I expect to live more Christ-like next year than I am this year. We can just keep growing. And so that's a good thing. That's a new way of walking. Again, it's not automatic. We're learning. It's a learning process. And then we have a new motivation. Now, this is something that I think is real important. We're now motivated. He said, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. One translation reads, finding out what's pleasing to the Lord. Now, when we're thinking about how can I please the Lord, that's a different motivation than just living for what pleases me. Now, maybe you've experienced this. Maybe you've met a new friend or a new couple that you're having friendship with, or you're talking with someone. To me, I can relate it to when I dated a girl in college, my junior and senior year. And this, I actually thought I was going to marry her. And when I first met her, I was just like, I was pretty smitten. And she liked country music. I didn't listen to country music. I grew up in the 70s, one of the last great decades of music. And I listened to Lynyrd Skynyrd, Led Zeppelin, the Doobie Brothers, the Eagles, Earth, Wind, and Fire, the Spinners. I had a very eclectic music taste, but it didn't include country music. And she's like, oh, I just love country music, and I like Kenny Rogers and a group called Alabama. And I'm like, yeah, I like country music too. I mean, there's an old flame burning in your eyes. The tears can't drown and makeup can't disguise. I love that line. That is a great line. All of a sudden, I'm a country music fan. And then she liked Bruce Springsteen. She's pretty eclectic too. And so I'm like, oh, he's from New Jersey, right? Okay, I love Bruce Springsteen too. And here's the thing. I changed some of my musical taste because I found it was pleasing to her. Now, interesting enough, when we broke up, I left country music. Until I came to Texas and started selling Wrangler jeans to country western stores, and all of a sudden I love country music again. I'm a big fan. So the idea is I adapted because I valued the relationship. When Paul said we're finding out what's pleasing to the Lord, we're adapting our life because now we have a relationship that we value, and because we value it, it's causing us to change. That's a new motivation and a new way of living, and it's sure a lot better than just living for yourself. So when Paul is writing this, I think he's a great example of someone who lived in the light. He walked as a child of light. And great revelation, great understanding. And I'm going to show you a story this morning, which is a good example of some ways that we can live and walk in the light. Paul was on a ship. He's heading for Rome. He's a prisoner. It's toward the end of his life. And he's on this ship. They change ships. He's he's getting ready to go, and he said, guys, he basically said, I got a bad feeling about this one. He said, I perceive that this trip is going to end with disaster to the ship, to the cargo, and we're going to lose our lives. Basically, he's saying, if we get in this ship and go on this voyage, it's going to kill us. But he was a prisoner. They didn't listen. And so when they got in the ship, they sailed nice for a couple of days, and then, man, they hit a storm. And it obviously was a hurricane-type storm because they're in it for days and days and days. Let's see what happens here. I call this one Riding the Storm Out. It's a 70s reference, if you happen to know. The second service won't get it at all. I'll have to explain that too. When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest or storm beat on us, all hope that we should be saved was finally given up. But after a long abstinence from food, then Paul stood up in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart or be encouraged, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, be encouraged, take heart, take courage, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island. I listened to that, I read that again, and I think, ah, boy, that sounds like so many people today. No small storm beat on them. You don't have to have a show of hands, but how many of you have felt like you've gone through a storm that just beats on you? And man, it was just beating on them. It was dark. They hadn't seen the sun or the stars for many days. I mean, they're in this storm. They can't go anywhere. They got a sailing ship. They can't motor out of it. And so they're just stuck at this driving, and this storm is beating. They've already thrown the cargo over. They've already thrown the ship's tackle over. And they've finally given up hope that they're going to be saved. Well, that's a hard place to be when you don't have hope anymore. But then an angel, there's a message of light came. And an angel came and stood in front of Paul and said, don't be afraid, Paul. He said, well, I thought Paul was a man of God. Why would he be afraid? Paul had already perceived they were going to die. And so now this angel is saying, hey, don't be afraid, Paul. You got to go talk to Caesar. And I love this. And God has granted you all those who were sailing with you. There were over 260 people that got saved because Paul was on board. Now, there are some of you who may be the only Christians in your households or only Christians that you work with. You might want to just go ahead and say, well, I'm the only Christian there. Listen, you don't realize how much your life is impacting other people's life for good. So you just stay on board. Just stay on the ship. That's good. But the angel said that to Paul, and so Paul stands up and he talks to them. But when he talks to them, he says something very unique. He said, there stood by me tonight an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve. Now, you say, well, why wouldn't Paul even say that? One, that's because that's how Paul identified. But another thing is, he's talking to a group of people. He wasn't traveling with the Methodist men's group. He was on this boat with a bunch of heathens and people who worship all these foreign gods. There were probably very few believers on the boat. And when he stands up and talks about his God, they had their gods. But he said, I'm telling you about an angel of the God who I belong to and who I serve. Man, that's a good identification right there. He's not this far off God. This is a God you can actually belong to. You can actually be a part of. I'm part of his family. And I serve him. So that added credibility to what he was about to say. I also like the fact he told them this. He said, y'all should have listened to me. But they didn't. But then Paul said something that I think was interesting. He gave them a reason to be encouraged. He said, take courage. He said, because I believe God that it will be exactly like it was told me. Take courage because I believe God. Now listen, when Paul was saying this, we don't know if he was on the deck of the ship or in the hold of the ship, but that ship is being tossed to and fro. I mean, you're in the middle of a storm. The storm didn't stop. The sun hadn't come out. And Paul's like, take courage, men. And I'm sure they're like, why? He said, because I believe God that it's going to be just like God had said. Even though they were in the middle of a storm, even though it looked horrible, Paul was encouraged, and he was encouraging them because he saw something they didn't see. He believed something they didn't know about. And because of that, Paul was able to be encouraged, and he was able to encourage them. And I'll give you the spark notes on that. It turned out perfectly. The ship, they lost the ship. But listen, you can replace ships. You can't replace lives. And they lived. They all swam to shore on an island. But what Paul said gives us some great pictures of how to live this life. How do we walk in the light as a child of light? Paul wrote and he said, walk as a child of light. He's just not talking about some Sunday school religious stuff. He's talking about this is actually how we can live. So let's talk about this. How can we live this way? Identify with the light, not the darkness. We live in a dark world. We live in a world where it is just spiritually dark. And it's motivated by fear. It's motivated by greed, by selfishness. There's grief and despair, and it's a dark world. And oftentimes people will talk about it, and they'll talk about the darkness, and maybe that darkness has impacted you. If I can help you with this. Listen, don't identify so strongly. In other words, don't magnify the darkness in your life. Say, well, Alan, I've got so many things going on, and I'm so stressed, and I'm so afraid, and I'm so bothered by this. I understand. I get it. All of us have been there. But you want to learn to stop magnifying the darkness, and you want to learn to magnify the light. You want to magnify where God is in this. So you may be living in a dark world, but Paul said, you're not dark. You're light. You're children of light. And so even though we live surrounded by fear and perversion and junk and nasty stuff, it doesn't mean we have to live, it doesn't have to get in us, and we don't have to magnify it in our lives. So don't do that. Don't magnify. You say, well, I have fears and I have doubts. I get it. But you expressing that doesn't help. So you say, well, then what do I talk about? Well, you can talk about the fact that we're light in the Lord. That we are now, we've changed. We have a new identity. Spiritually, we have a brand new identity. Now we're no longer old creations, we are new creations. We talk about that every week. And so in this new creation, we're not in the dark anymore, we're in the light, and we can talk about the fact that we now, we belong to Him. We're part of His family. That when you made Jesus your Lord, you just didn't get set aside till one day you can go to heaven. Now you become part of God's family. And you belong to Him. God's now my Heavenly Father. I can call Him Heavenly Father. I can come boldly to the throne of grace, not because of what I've done, because of what Jesus has done for me. And when I made Jesus my Lord, that puts me in a whole other position. So now I'm not the same person that I used to be. You say, well, I still look the same. I still feel the same. Yeah, but we're not talking about that dimension. We're talking about a spiritual dimension, which is higher than this realm that we live in. And in the spiritual dimension that we are now a part of, we're no longer in the dark. We're part of the light, and we belong to a God who is powerful. He is not weak. And not only that, but we don't just belong to Him, but we serve Him. Jesus said this, John 8th chapter. He said, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. I'm the light of the world. I believe Jesus is the light of the world. Yes? But He said if we follow Him, then we won't walk in darkness, we'll have the light of life. If we follow Him, that word follow and serve actually can be used interchangeably. And by the way, serving Jesus is not just what you can do here. We have lots of opportunities for people to volunteer, and we appreciate them. It takes hundreds of volunteers and I love you guys. You are wonderful. You do a great job. But you don't just serve on Sundays. We follow the Lord. We serve Him on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, during the rest of the week. It's an all the time thing. You say, well, what's it mean by following the Lord? Does that mean I have to dress in a long robe and walk around and go, bless you? No, it doesn't. But it means following the Lord is, I'm going to start adapting to Him. Like if I'm following Him and someone writes something nasty about you on social media, and you're thinking, I am going to write something. You just think that was bad. I'm going to write something back to them. And the Lord said, when I was on the earth, I just blessed people that did that. And you're like,
Yeah, you're right, Lord. Bless your heart. Then the Lord's going to look at you and go, no, no. And like, all right, bless you. The Lord says, when I was on the earth, I forgave. So if I'm following him, I forgive. Amen. Just amazing how this many people can go quiet just all at one time. If I'm following him, he forgave. If I'm following him, he wasn't about himself. He was unselfish. So am I learning? If I'm following him, I'm learning to be less and less selfish. You want a quick marriage seminar, real quick? The less selfish you are, the more your marriage is blessed. Hello, TV audience. I just want to talk to you. Because I can't feel your scorn and anger. Selfishness, you know this. Selfishness is the biggest challenge that we deal with. And if we're following the Lord, well, the more we follow him, the less selfish we become. Amen. I'll go to the next point. I'll see y'all love these. Let's go. Believe what God says more than the darkness we see and feel. Believe what God says more than the darkness. You say, well, you know, Paul could have said, when that angel appeared to him, Paul could have said, you know, guys, I saw an angel, but I don't know. Maybe, you know, we've been in this storm a long time. I don't know about it. And he said we're going to live, but I don't know. That wouldn't have helped anybody. When he said, I believe God is going to be just like it was told me, you say, well, Alan, we don't have an angel. You're right. Angels rarely appear to us, but thank God we have his word. And so his word, in fact, this is what the psalmist said in Psalms 119, longest chapter in the Bible. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Your word, listen, we would not need a lamp or a light if we lived in a world where it was all bright. We need a lamp and a light when it's dark. And we live in a dark world, and his word becomes a lamp and a light to us. And then it's able to guide our life. Just real quick. Don't raise your hand. Anybody ever deal with anxiety? Anybody ever deal with just worrying and worrying and worrying? You say, well, how can God's word be a lamp to me? Well, and if you read in Philippians 4:8 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That's a light to us. So we read that and we go, okay, I can believe that. That God doesn't want me to live anxiously. That God doesn't want me to live just crippled by anxiety and worry and fear, that I can ask him. That's learning to let God's word be a light to you. And then what happens is, then this book begins to guide the way we live. We begin to use it as a way of guiding. How are we living in life? A number of years ago, there was the story of a man who was on a battleship. He was serving in the Navy. And the ship was out in the middle of some really ugly weather. They were doing training exercises, and fog had stepped in. And the captain stayed on the bridge as the sun went down because the visibility was so bad. And the lookout said to the bridge, said, Captain, there's a light off the starboard bow. Captain said, is it stationary or is it moving astern? He said, it's stationary. He said, that means we're on a collision course. He told the signalman, he said, signal with the lights. He said, we are on a collision course. Change your course 20 degrees. And immediately a signal came back in the lights and it said, advise that you change your course 20 degrees. And the captain said, all right, send this. He said, send, I'm a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. And the signal light came back. I'm a second class seaman. You change your course 20 degrees. By this time, the captain is furious and he spat out, you send, I'm a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. And the reply came back, I'm a lighthouse. And the battleship changed course. Guys, this is a lighthouse to us. This is a light. We see this, and the light says, don't be anxious about things. Start praying about it.
And we go, okay, I'm going to change course to line up with this. Walking in the light, learning to live as a child of light. And, you know, and just listen, the more we believe this, the more encouraged we are. Paul said, take heart, men, I believe God. The more we believe, the more encouraged we become. Here's my last point with this. The bigger picture is we are to influence others. The brother needs some prayer right there. He said this in Matthew the fifth chapter. Said, you're the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Here's the big picture. We want to walk and identify with the Lord. We want to identify with Him. We want to walk in the light. We want to learn to live by this. We want to learn to live by His word and to walk in the light, not just because it blesses our life, but because it makes us a light to others, because we live in a dark world. And as we live in a dark world, the more your light shines, the more it is a blessing to others. Lucy Swindoll said a number of years ago, before everyone had a phone in their pocket, she said a friend of hers was on an elevator, and the elevator experienced a power failure, and all the lights went out pitch black. She said seven people on the elevator began to panic as everyone began to talk at once. But Lucy said she had a friend who had a small flashlight in his pocket. And when he pulled the flashlight out and cut it on, said the fear dissipated. And for 45 minutes, said these seven strangers talked to one another, laughed, told jokes, even sang songs. That light had dissipated the fear and brought everything down to a calm. When Ephesians 5:8 says, you're no longer darkness, you're light. When Jesus said, we're the light of the world. Hey, the idea is, listen, a flashlight gets its power from the batteries that are in it. We get our power from a relationship with the Lord. And when we let our light shine, we're letting His grace and His love, and we're letting His power and His goodness and His calmness show to a people who need it. There are people who are watching you that want to know that there's some hope for this world, and you're the one that can bring it to them because you're the light. So as we live as the light, just let your light shine. You don't have to be a big flashlight. You just need to be on all the time. We're going to pray, and I'm just going to ask you just for a few minutes if you can stay with me afterwards and as we talk, but if you'll bow your head just for a moment, please, no one leaving. Maybe you came this morning or you're watching online and you're saying, Alan, I don't have a relationship with the Lord. I've never asked Him to be the Savior of my life. Am I in darkness? Yeah, but that can change. I can change this morning. And change whenever you're watching this, that can change. Because becoming the light doesn't mean that we did something on our own. It means we received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe you're like I was, and you've been away from the Lord, and you had a relationship with Him, and you backed off. And you haven't lived for Him, and you know it, and you're not happy about it. And listen, here's a great time to come back. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I can't see you if you're online, but if you're here, and you're saying, Alan, that's me. I want to make sure my relationship with the Lord, or I want to come back to Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up just real quick across this auditorium and say, that's me. Would you pray? Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. We're going to pray. Again, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Maybe you didn't lift your hand. You wanted to. I can't see if you're online, but you can pray this prayer with us. We're going to pray with you as a church family. You pray. We're not going to bring you down to the front, but right in your seat, right where you are, man, you can start a relationship with the Lord, or you can renew that right now, just with this prayer. So simple. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe You're the Son of God. I believe You died on the cross for my sins. And God raised You from the dead. Right now, I confess You as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank You, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with You. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to You. Just a moment still with heads bowed. Father, thank You for those that prayed that prayer. For those who've come to You for the first time, for those who've come back, those who've renewed their relationship with you. We thank you for them. We thank you for your mercy in receiving us. And Lord, for the rest of us, help us walk as children of light. Help us walk as light in a dark world, that you may be honored and glorified in all that we do. We give you the praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.